Today's daf is Tes Zayin, and we'll begin on the fourth line from the top. Rechov Teva Vesakim Efer Efer Kvura Umoria Simon. Simon, this is a mnemonic device, a memory device to remember the paragraphs that we're going to be learning about one by one. So first we're going to start with Rechov. Now, we learned in the Mishnah back on Tesvav that they take the Teva, that's like the Aron Kodesh, the Sefer Torah is, they take it out of the Shul, out into the Rechov HaShel'ir, like the center Kikar in the city, for the Tfilos of the fast days. And this is an issue, the Gemara wants to know why. Lama Yotzim L'Rechov, why can't we daven? You know, if it was COVID, we'd have an answer to that question. But if it's not COVID, why do we have to daven outside? And the Gemara offers two shitos about this. Rabbi Chiya and an afkamina between the two. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, Lomar, this is a way of expressing the idea of za'aknu b'tzina. We try to cry out to Hashem inside the walls, the private walls of the Beis HaKnesset, v'lona aneinu. God did not respond, and the rains still have not come down. Now we're ready for the stage of Nevaza Atzmeinu B'Farhes. It is literally a humiliation for a synagogue to not be able to daven inside the walls of the shul, but have to go out publicly and use the public streets for prayer. That's not very respectable. That is indicative of what we call Kriya and Bizayon. Now, Bizayon is an element in tefillah, because when a person feels humble, they are able to pray on a more profound level. Also, it indicates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are desperate. So that hopefully, mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav, ki Hashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, that we are involved in za'aka, now za'aka out in public for Hesia. And if God, I mean, this is not a threat, but if God doesn't respond to our tefillos and bring the rain, then the umos ha'olam are going to make fun of us. They're going to say, wait a minute, you claim that God is always close to you, and as a Jewish nation, you have a special hour of prayer that God responds. How come we see him publicly praying out in the streets and yet God doesn't respond to you? So Hashem, now it's in both marriages that the rains come down. Reish Lakish Omer, however, he gives an alternative explanation for Rechov HaShel'ir, and that is Galinu Galusenu Mechaperes Aleinu, that going out of the shul is a kind of a partial galus. We are no longer in our own home, so to speak, in our synagogue. We are out there in the public without any home, without any roof overhead. That is a kind of goal. So it reminds us of what we once discussed about sukkahs, that we leave our house, the comfort of our homes, and we go out to the sukkahs. It's like a mitzvah's goal. So we're hoping that God will respond, because Imo Anochi Bitzara, and in a sense, he, capital H, is also with us in goal. My Beinai, what's the difference between Rabbi Chiya and Reish Lakish? And the Gemara answers, Ika Beinayu, the goli mi Beit Knishta le Beit Knishta. Could we arrange it in such a way that we swap shuls, meaning that those who daven regularly in shul X will now daven in Y, and vice versa, they're going from one shul to the other. If it's a matter of Bizayon, then you're no longer the Farhesi, you're going just from one private shul to another. But if it's a matter of Golos, the way Reish Lakish has it, then in effect you did go into Golos by leaving the comfort of your own synagogue, and now you resituate yourself in a different synagogue. The Gemara answers, Lama Motzin es hateva l'rechova shel'ir. On the one hand, we understand why the tefillah has to be out in the public. But why do we have to take out the teva with the Sefer Torah to the public square? Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lomar, this is a kind of a confession on our part that Kli Tzanua Hayalon, we had an Aron Kodesh, which was in private, and it's Baza Bavanoseinu, that we have to take that Kli, that Aron Kodesh, which is so holy, and it's such a permanent fixture in the Beis HaKnesses, and it was tanua, it was privately enclosed inside the walls of the synagogue, and now we have to take it out publicly. And as a result of our sins, even the Beis HaKnesses, even the Teva, even the Sefer Torah itself has to go out into Golus. Mar raises the following question. Why is it that when we daven on this tannis, we cover ourselves with a sackcloth? And the Gemara answers, Amar Abtiyabar Abba Lomar, this is a statement on our part, are anu chashuvim kibahema. We are wearing a sackcloth that's usually made from the hairs of an animal or from the feathers of various kinds of, let's say, goats and different animals. And we're showing and demonstrating that we are down to the level of big day seyar shel behema. And therefore, God is not responding to our tefillos. We don't really stand as human beings. My Rebbe used to say that we lose at tzelem Elokim as soon as God rejects our prayers. And that's what Avelus is all about. One of the dimensions of Avelus, Rachmanu Litzlan, is that we wear certain kinds of coverings over our head to indicate that our face is covered, our countenance, which is a reflection of the divine image, is now blotted out. That's why we have a minhag of covering the mirrors for the same reason. Lama Nosnim, now we had in the Mishnah that there's something called Efer Mikla, which means they burn some substance and they take the ashes and they put it not only on the heads of the Nasi and the Chazan HaKnesses, of each individual person, member of the community, puts these ashes on his head. But Lama Nosnim Efer Mikla Gabi Ateva. Why do we put the ashes on top of the Sefer Torah? And that certainly is a very radical, profound action. Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi Klomer, this is a statement that since David HaMelech says in Tehillim, in Psalm number 91, Tzadiyal, Imo Anochi B'tzar, Kodesh Baruch Hu participates with his nation in their tzaros. And therefore the Sefer Torah, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, now is identifying itself with our tzara. Therefore goes out with the Efer HaMikmata. Reish Lakish Amar, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifies and commensurates with our tzaros, can be derived from a different pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, B'chol tzarasam lo tzar. In all of their straits, it's really tzar for Hashem. Omer Abzeru Meresh ki havi chazina lehu l'rabbanon. Originally, when I would see the chachamim, diyavi efer mikla al gabi ateva, they actually placed these ashes on top of the Aron Kodesh. Mizdazeli kula gufi, my entire body would shake from the suffering that I felt, the pain, the misery of putting ashes on top of the Aron Kodesh. Gemara now asks, "Belomenosnim efer barosh kol echad v'echad." Why do we place the ashes on the head of each member of the community? And here we have machlokes. Pligi ba Rabbi Levi bar Chama v'Rabbi Chanin. Chanam, according to one opinion, what we're trying to express is Hare anu chashuvim lefanecha ke'efer. God, in your eyes, we consider like ashes. We're not roy for anything. We don't deserve anything. But Chanamar, another opinion is Kadesh Yizkor lono efro shel Yitzhak, that we put the ashes on our head so God remembers the Akedis Yitzhak and the Afer of Yitzhak. And in that's who's the merit of Yitzhak on the Akedah, God will have compassion on us and end the drought. Now, what does it mean, Afer shel Yitzhak? I mean, Yitzhak was not burnt, but in any event, what was ever done to the isle, the ram, that substituted for Yitzhak, because Avram was mispalel, he said, Yirotzon, Sheteizu, Ki'ilu, Asuyim, Yitzhak, whatever we're doing to this ram, it's as if we did it to Yitzhak. It's Ki'ilu, Chachut, Ki'ilu, Damu, Zaruk, Ki'ilu, Mufshat, It's as if Yitzchak had been subject to the Akhtara and the Sreif al Gabi Mizbeach, like the Ram. My Beinai, what's the Nafkamina between the concept of Chashuvim and after Chashuvim Melfonech to Efer or Lahazkir as Efer Shal Yitzchak? Offer Stam. Offer Stam means dirt from the earth. It's not Efer Sreifa. It's not a result of burning. According to the reasoning that God, you should remember the Efer of Yitzchak, this is not going to be an appropriate substance. Offer is not the same as Efer. And it's not going to be a remembrance of the Afer of Yitzchak. But if you're going about Chashuvim Kefir, that we're considered like nothing, and this is an expression of our humility, then offer is just as good. Now the Gemara asks the question, Lama Yotzim Lebeis HaKvaros. Why is it that after the Tfilos, on these fast days, the people go out to the cemetery? And once again, we have a Machlokes, two opinions. Ligi bar Rabbi Levi bar Chama for Rabbi Chanina. Chad, I'm going to one opinion. Are onu chashuvim lefanecha kimesim. In other words, if we don't do tshuva, this is a way of being misorer the people to tshuva. It's as if we are dead, and that's why we go out to the Beis HaKfaros to identify, so to speak, with the dead. And the Rambam in Hilchas Tainios adds another element to the equation. He says, "In nischayavnu golus, harei galinu mimakom lemakom. If we deserve exile, we've gone out of the synagogue, out into the rechava shalir. That itself is a kiyum of golus. In nischayavnu misa, if our sins are so severe that we should be condemned to death, then we're in the beis hakfaros, we're in the cemetery like the dead." And my Rebbe, Rav Salvechik, was very opposed to going to cemeteries. It's a very extreme kind of an action, and only out of desperation do we visit cemeteries. Then we have another opinion. We are entreating the dead to pray on our behalf. And by the way, this is not a contradiction to one of the 13 principles of faith, that we pray directly to God and not through any intermediary, because we are using not only our own tefillos, but we are benefiting from the tefillos of the mason. And that's not a violation of direct tefillah to Hashem. We find, for example, Kalev, when he was on the way to Eretz Yisrael as one of the Meraglim, he stopped off in Hebron and he invoked the prayers of the Yeshene Ofar in Hebron, the Avos. We also find that Chazal say that Rachel is buried in Ephras, so that she can come out and pray on behalf of the Jewish people, of her descendants, when we go out to Golos. The problem really is the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara establishes Ein HaMeisim Yodim Mitzarom Shel Chayim. There's no communication with the dead. So how could it be that the dead will pray on our behalf? So Tosfos in Masechet Sota raises this question. He asks, "Al yedei shemodiim lahem b'tfila shemispalim aleihem yodim." We are going to pray on behalf of the dead. The live will pray on behalf of the dead, and within the context of those prayers, they will mention and incorporate our sorrows, meaning the suffering and the misery of the live people. My benayu, ika benayu, kivrei akum. In a place where no Jews are buried, if we say anu chashuvim lefanecha kimeisim, then even in such a non-Jewish cemetery, we're still making that statement and projecting the fact that we are like mason. But if you go with the principle that we want the mason to be mispala, to be mavakish rachmo on our behalf, then this is not going to be a solution, because the goyim, the deceased non-Jews, will not be able to be mevakesh rachmim even for themselves, let alone for the Jewish nation. The Gemara asks the following question. We have a phrase which is called Har Hamoriah. My Har Hamoriah. the place for the Akedah, and we're going to mention in that tefillos on a Tainis Tzibur, is Hara Moriah. What's the meaning of the word Moriah? Again, a machlokas between Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Chanina. Chad Omer, according to one opinion, the reason why it's called Moriah is because Har Sheyotza Mimenu Hora Li Yisrael. And what this means is the pasuk in Yeshaya Novi says Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora, that Hora's Torah, any ruling and any question and any decision that has to be handed down will come from that mountain, and that is because the highest court of Israel, the Supreme Court, the Bezin HaGadol B'Yisrael, that was made up of 71 elders, sat in the Lishkas HaGazis, right, contiguous to the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, the Nevi'im would come to the Beis HaMikdash when they had to give Tochacha to Yisrael, which is a public area. And that's called Horah L'Yisrael, teachings to Israel. And therefore, you look at the word Moriah, and you see in the word Moriah, the Shorosh Horah, Chadom, according to second opinion, Har sheyotzen menu mora li'ovdei kochavim, that the nations of the world heard about the greatness of Israel in Yerushalayim, in the Har Moriah, and the nisim that were done to Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, especially the first Mikdash, is then nafal pachtam aleihem, and that's called Moriah miloshen mora, meaning fear. And the Beis HaMikdash instills fear in the nations of the world. Maybe that's why the nations of the world rise up to take over the Har Moriah. They want to have it for themselves. The Mishnah says, Zaken Shabem Omer Lefneim Direi Kibushin. He should give them some rebuke. Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa says, if Yesh Zaken, fine. If there is an elderly person who can fill that role, great. Omer Zaken. But in Lav, what do we do in the absence of such an elder statesman? Omer Chacham, just find a scholar, no matter how old he is, and he will stack it to us with Divrei Kibushin, with words of rebuke. The Imlav, let's say you can't even find a Chacham, Omer Adam Shel Tzura, find a rank and file citizen, but he has to have what's called a koma. He has to have a certain stature. People look up to him, and when he will give them chastisement, they will be machnias libam, and they will accept his words. When the Brisa says that Zaken should come first and Chacham should be second, do you mean Afal Gavtel Af Chachamu? Are you telling me that the Zaken is an elderly person, but he's an Amoritz, and he gets first preference? We should choose him for Direi Kibushim above and beyond a Chacham? Certainly, we would rather appoint a Chacham, even if he's young, rather than a Zaken who's old, but he's an Amoritz. This is what the Brice has in mind. In Yesh Zaken Vehu Chacham, if you have an elderly statesman who's also a Chacham, he has two pluses. He's both Zaken, his age commands respect, and also his knowledge of Torah, then Omer Zaken Vehu Chacham, the one who should recite these Divrei Kibushim and give this Drasha to the Bnei Yisrael, that should be the Zaken Chacham Vimlav. If you don't have a Zaken who's also a Chacham, then Omer Chacham. Certainly, we would give preference to a Chacham over age, over an Amoritz who's a Zaken. Vimlav, if there's neither a Chacham nor a Zaken, Omer Adam Shel Tzura. What is the substance of the Divrei Kibushim? What should the Zaken be saying to the people of Israel at this juncture, at this critical moment, when the suffering and the danger of this drought keeps increasing with every minute that passes by? Lo sak v'tainis garmi. Don't make a mistake. Don't think that by putting on sackcloth and fasting, that's going to bring about the Yeshua, and that's going to nullify the decree up in heaven. No. These are all externalities that are meant to bring a person into an inner state of tshuva, el tshuva ma'isim tovim garment. And I'll prove it to you that the Ikar is tshuva and ma'isim tovim shekem atzina b'anvei Nineveh. When Yonah came to tell the Anvei Nineveh that God had decreed that they would perish, and their only salvation would be if they do tshuva. Lo nemar, it doesn't say vayaral kim esakam vestanisa, even though the pasuk says that they wore sackcloth and they fasted, but that's not what Hashem saw, and that's not what brought it back about the bittul hagzera ela. But rather, as it says in Yonah in the third chapter, vayaral kim es maaseim, God scrutinized their actions. Ki shavu midarkam hara'ah, that they desisted from the evil paths that they had followed until that, and that's what caused God to be mevatel gzeiros. It's not these external actions of sakin times. And therefore, the message here of the zakin is we've got to do tshuva b'lev, a sincere, genuine tshuva in our hearts. Now, once the Brisa mentions the tshuva of Anshe Nineveh, the Brisa adds something about the Maisa of Nineveh. When the king of Nineveh commands his people, his nation, v'iskasu sakim ha'odom ve'habem, that the sackcloth should be worn not only by us, human beings, but even draped on the behem, on the animal. So the Gemara asks immediately, my havi avdi? You know, what was the idea of getting the behema to also, so to speak, be mitztayer, to be in a state of suffering? He says in the footnote in the name of the Marashol, Levisha Sak Metainis, Eino Lo Bishvil Achnos Aleh, that we should be mitztayer on the averus that caused this terrible situation, the calamity, the drought. What does that have to do with the animals? And the Gemara answers, Asrei Habehemos Lechud Veshavlados Lechud. The suffering and the misery that they imposed upon the animals, and this is a deviation from the principle of Tzar Bali Chaim, is that they would tie up the mother animal, let's say the cow, and then they would separate the egel, the calf that was nursing from its mother, and the mothers now are suffering because they're full of milk and they can't feed their young. And what is the purpose of this tzar, of imposing such suffering on the animal? Amru lefanav. The Anshe Nineveh, in essence, was saying to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Im Ein Atam Rachim Aleinu, if we don't deserve compassion, Einonu Merachmim Al Eilu, and we're not even having compassion on the animals. And since you have promised, God, that you would have compassion on the animals, as it says, "V'rachma v'al kol masav," then please, likewise, have compassion on us as well. Then the king of Nineveh commands the people, the Yikru el Elokim bechazka. What does this mean? My Omer, what was the chazka? The chazka is Yikru el Elokim. It's a kind of a very profound tefillah. What was the nature of that tefillah? Like Moran says, Amru lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, in a normal pattern of the universe, according to nature, when there is some sort of debate between Aluv, v'she'eino Aluv Tzadik v'rasha, Aluv is someone who's suffering, he's humiliated, another person is dignified. Mi nidcha mipnei mi. Certainly, it goes without saying that the tzaddik, who's suffering such humiliation, should override the ratzon and be mevatel to the rasha shemaftir harbe lifnei tzaddik l'kayim ritzono. The tzaddik is a person who can tolerate humiliation, and he can sort of be mevatel himself. He can be mevatel to the rasha if the rasha is begging him to do whatever he is, and that's the will of the Rasha, then the tzaddik, again, unless it's a violation of his ethical principles, he will give way to the Rasha. And therefore, God, you are the tzaddiko shel olam. You are a being that tolerates humiliation, so to speak, and therefore be mevater to us and fulfill our will, even if we are Rishon. Then the king commands the people of Yashuvu each they should do tshuva from their evil ways and from theft in their hands. What did the king have in mind when he warns them that they should do tshuva minachamas hashem bekapeyim? He already told them at the beginning of this verse, v'yatshuva ich v'darko ha-ra'ah. Why does he specify minachamas? Amar Shmuel, Shmuel answers, afilu gazal marish u'bino b'bira mekakeya kol abira kula u'machzir es ha-marish l'bailer. Even if he stole a beam and he built it into his house, he will have to now take apart his house or the roof of his house in order to return that beam to its proper owner, to the nigzal. And the Gemara seems to be indicating here that there's a gzeiras marish that only applies to Jews. That if a Jew stole a beam and then he built it into his house, we don't require of him to take apart his whole house in order to return that beam. But in the case of the Anshei Nineveh, they would have to do such a thing. Now, how does Shmuel see this in the Chamas Asher Bekapeyem? So the word chamas is not really a thief. I translated it loosely as a thief. A chamson is someone who takes your object, but he gives you the money. You're not interested in selling it. He wants to take it against your will, but he pays you for it. And here too, im yitnu damim, adayin zeya begeter chamas. If let's say they stole a beam, and now they're going to pay its value to the nigzal, that still remains chamas because they forced the person to give up the object. Now he has the beam, and it's in the thief's house. You know, it's in his building, the structure of the building. That remains chamas. So it's still an aver biyada, and therefore they have to return the beam itself so that there wouldn't be chamas. And we should all pray for the end of chamas. Now, once we saw the Anshei Nineveh did tshuva, complete tshuva, and they returned the gezel, it wasn't enough for them just to confess their sins and feel regret. So the Gemara expands upon this. Omer av adam bar ava, adam sheyesh biyado avera, if a person stole something, umisvade, and he confessed his crime, what's called vidupet, v'eino chozer, but he doesn't return the gezel. If a person is holding on to gezel, all of his tshuva is likened to a person who's holding on to a sheretz, which is the source of tuma, and he's jumping into the mikvah while he's holding the sheretz in his hand. He can jump into all the mikvahs in the world, and it will not be mitiring. As soon as he goes into a small mikveh that has the barest minimum of 40 saw, and he throws away the sheretz, then also the tefillah becomes tar. The tefillah is meaningful. Same thing with tshuva on chatoim. You know, you can't do tshuva on chatoim until you return the gzela. Shenemar modev yosev yerucha. Shlomo Melchim Mishle says that if a person confesses his sins and ozev, and he leaves it behind, then Yerucham, then HaKadosh Baruch will have Rachmanis on him. The Omer, and furthermore, the Poskin Eicha says, Nisa levaveno kapayim el bashamayim. We will lift up our hands to Shamayim with clean palms. What do you mean that palms are clean? Nikius means that clean of sin. So it's not enough that he did shuv belev. His kapayim, his hands, have to also be pure and clean because he returned the gzeil that he was holding on to. The Mishnah says, "Amdu b'tfilim o'ridin l'fnayateva zakeh b'ragil." And now we're going to get into the whole issue of who should be the shliach tzibur on this very dire situation of the drought. Tanura, Bono, we learned in Brisa, Omdu b'tfilo, when the people got up to daven, Afal Pishiyesham Zaken b'chacham, even if we had a Zaken b'chacham that gave the Divrei Kibushim, the rebuke, but let's say he's not a Shliach Tzibur, Shliach Tzibur has to know the tefillah, especially the tefillahs of a Tzibur, Tzibur, are very complicated. They didn't have published Sidurim there. So you needed someone who was an expert. But who should be the Shliach Tzibur? Ain't more reading Shliach Tzibur Lufnei HaTevela Odom HaRogil. He's got a lot of experience. It's what's called Tfilaso Shkura Befib. The tefillah, the Nusach HaTfilah is on his lips. He's very experienced. And he might not be a Zaken and a Chacham, but we have to, this is critical, that we have to appoint the Shliach Tzibur who is Ragil and Tfilaso Shkura Befib. And what does Ragil mean? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mitupal. It's not enough. Now, you notice that Ezu Ragil, those two words are in parentheses. Do you see that? You have that in your Gemara? Parentheses?
Yes.
So that's because the Rif and others, the Rosh, they take out those words. Because in truth, the next statement of Rabbi Yehuda is not an answer to the question of who is a Ragil, but rather what other requirements besides being Ragil, besides being Shkura, Tfilasa Shkura Befib, well experienced, well oiled, we might say, what other requirements do we have? And the answer is it's got to be Mitupal. Mitupal is Lashon Taf. Taf are children, small infants. And the importance of his having infants is that he'll pray sincerely on behalf of his infants. The Elo, and here you have to add a few words, Bamelis Parnes. He doesn't have enough resources to support his little children, and therefore his heart is in a state of daiga. He's in a state of worry, nervous tension. He's yelling and screaming in philos, and they're coming from the depths of his heart. He's very sincere. V'yesh lo yigia basada. Whatever parnosi he has is because he ekes out a living from the land. He's a farmer, and he desperately needs rain. So you can be guaranteed that this person is going to be mispalel on the tainis in the most profound way. Ubeso Rekon. And the shelves in his house are empty. He doesn't have food. Upirko Nun. And the Gemara is going to explain what Pirko Nun means. Shval Berach. Shval Berach means that he, when there's a door and he's too tall to go through the door, he bends his knees so that he can walk through the door. Rav Salvech used to say that that's even a level beyond Anav, because if a person in Anav, he bends his head down. Everybody sees that he's bending his head. But if you look at his eyes, you won't notice that he bent his knees. That's called the Shval Berach. Umerutza La'am. Noach Lebrios. He's somebody who's beloved by the people. Everybody agrees that he should be the Shliach Tzibur. I'd like to see that happen. But anyway, V'yesh lo me'ima. He has a beautiful voice, very pleasant. And it's Moshe Chlevat Shomim. People like to hear his voice. For Kolo Arev, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between Kolo Arev and Yesh Lo Ne'ima? Ubaki Likros B'Tora U'Nevi'im B'Ksumim. Because the additional tefillos that we add on a Tainis Tzibur are all taken from Psukim and Tanakh. So we want to make sure that he knows those Psukim. He's Shkura B'Fiv. And here you have a girsa problem again. In our text, it says V'yodea l'shanos v'medrish v'alochos v'agodos. And the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, takes this out because he says, why do we need a person who knows medrish and alochos and agodos? That shouldn't be here at all. He proves that the Rosh didn't have it in his girsa, and many, many other Rishonim did not have this phrase. Ubaki b'chol abrochos kulo. And he's an expert in all the brachos. We have to add an extra six brachos. Now, the Brisa tells us that in at the time that they authored this Brisa, they looked around and tried to find somebody, a candidate, who would fulfill all these highfalutin requirements, Yavu Berabonan Einayu Berabi Yitzhak Bar Ami. All eyes turned to Rabbi Yitzhak. They knew that he had all these miles. And he was definitely the proper choice to be the Shliach Tzibur.